It's now time for a very showcase edition of Game Pass or Pass the Podcast, where we normally play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass to a friend, which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey. I'm joined by the man who is, he's a third-party exclusive, but he was not a world premiere, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean. Does that make me better or worse?
I don't know. But I think I've heard the word world premiere.
World premiere.
Like so many times. I am Corey. This is Basher. We are here to talk about the Xbox Summer Showcase. This is typically one of two of Microsoft's larger sort of info drops of the year. And the reason it's important to us is because we play on Game Pass and there's a lot of Game Pass stuff as it's Microsoft. So we're here. We're not going to go over the whole Summer Showcase, like game by game kind of thing. We each picked out three games, and then we're obviously going to talk about the ROG Ally Xbox. ROG Xbox Ally X.
I picked out more than three.
That's fine with me. I've got three that I can think of off the top of my head.
Are you sure it's fine?
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to drill you here. I mean, you said up top there's three. I don't want to lie to the people.
Well, if I had to pick more than three, I would, but
Can we change it to a few games? Because that could be sure. Three to five.
Sure. That's we each picked out a few games that we want to talk about.
There we go.
And we're going to talk about some Game Pass stuff, but as well as I think the ROG Xbox Ally X, because just rolls right off the tongue. We're going to talk about that, as that was a topic on our last sort of bonus episode. So let's start with sort of our general feelings of the showcase overall, and then we'll dive into some of the games that really stood out to us. How do you feel about this year's Xbox Summer Showcase?
I generally feel that it's good. It was good. It was good. I mean, what can I say? I mean, it's good. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great. But it was good. You know? I mean,
last year might have been their best like showcase ever, just in terms of like new stuff, in terms of surprises, I don't know if there was any, like, you know, we had Gears E-Day, like, which nobody really expected, but there was Fable showed off, looked really good. Like, there was just a lot of good-looking stuff in that showcase. A lot from first party as well. So I'm with you, like, it was good. I think the biggest thing for me this year was nothing blew my mind. Like, nothing was just like, oh, man, like, I did not expect that. You know, like, oh, that game looks way, you know, there was no Expedition 33 moment of just like, whoa, what was that?
I mean, yeah.
What was that?
I mean, there's really no moment of what was that, honestly. And I mean,
right.
Again, that's not a bad thing, but like you do want to build some hype. I think their overall hype machine for this show was essentially all these games are essentially third party, but they're all coming to Game Pass.
Correct.
And they
Yeah, and they Outer Worlds 2 is their big game. So Fable was supposed to be this holiday. I'm assuming that was going to take the spot of Outer Worlds 2 in terms of the sort of showcase of the showcase. Like last year, they did Black Ops 6 because they had a bunch of new stuff, and that was the first time they were going to be on Game Pass, et cetera, et cetera. So, and they obviously had their Fallout 76. They had their Elder Scrolls Online. So, but there was nothing. There was no major first party announcements, really. And that's okay. Like, I guess that's not true. Like, we got Grounded 2, but that's kind of really the only one that I can think of off the top of my head that's like truly like new, I guess.
My overall issue with the showcase, and this is not just this year, but I think it's kind of most years or give or take, is I feel like Microsoft found their footing and was really firing off all cylinders back in the 360 era, like during that summer of arcade time. Like I felt like that was a magical time for them where they just kind of figured things out. My overall issue with the Microsoft showcase is it still doesn't feel like I'm watching a Microsoft specific showcase, and I don't know how to really explain that cohesively enough, because like there are games you look at where it's like, that's a Sony game. Like that's
for
100%.
Sure.
Like even if it's multi-platform, it comes on every single console, Switch 2, Switch 1, your phone, everything. you look at it, it's like, oh, that's definitely like a, that will perform best or well on a Sony platform. The Nintendo conferences are the same way, where you see games like, oh, these are all clearly Nintendo games, even if it's not first party. Like this is something that's coming to the Switch and it's clearly made for the Switch. Down to like the art design, the presentation, the story features, the story beats. I just don't feel like there are games that are very Microsoft oriented. Sure. Or it feels very Microsoft. So I just want to say going forward, I really hope they lean in very, very, very heavily into the Expedition 33 type games. Because I feel like those games should and could be the face of Microsoft, with your occasional Gears type game and Forza type game.
Yeah, and I'm with you in that, like, Microsoft is in a unique position to where they're now the biggest video game publisher on the planet, like, because they bought Activision. They already had a decent, you know, amount of output, and they published some third-party stuff. But we're really sort of now hitting the ground running in some ways. You know, that class of 2019 or whatever, Playground and not In Exile. In Exile was later, but In Exile. And I can't remember the State of the Decay developers right now, but like they bought like 8 to 10 teams since then, kind of thing. Just that's not including the Activision purchase. So like they just have this hodgepodge of like all this stuff. But it seems like we're finally maybe getting to a cadence with them to where you can expect from Microsoft there's going to be at least 3 to 4 major titles from them. But the thing is that it's Bethesda still sort of has their own style. Activision still has their own style. Like, when you have that much, just like, I wasn't saying cohesion, that many chefs in the kitchen or whatever, like, it's not going to be able to create a synergy. Like you said, like, oh, this is a Nintendo product, this is a Sony product. That's a good thing and a bad thing. Like, it's hard to do with, especially this year, and we'll talk about what they're doing next year. Like, this year, it's not there, but Phil Spencer came up on near the end of the show and he said, like, hey, next year's 25th anniversary of Xbox, we're going to have Forza, we're going to have Fable, we're going to have Gears of War E-Day, and the return of a classic, which is the rumored Halo remake, essentially. So it's like, that sounds like a Microsoft year, right? Like, those are kind of like the four pillar franchises. Yeah. Like, those are the four pillar franchises. But the problem with that is that Halo's in the worst place it's ever been. Forza Motorsport is not doing great. Forza Horizon is doing fantastic. Gears 5 was not the best. So it's like, and Fable's been in development since 2020, I think. So it's like, it's hard to have an identity when you have just all this other stuff. But at the same time, like I said, it's also a blessing, because while there was nothing that blew me away in this showcase, I'm going to play like 70% of what was shown, which is saying a lot. Like, I'm not easy to please, but I have a very particular, you know, set of games that I really want to dive into. And there's like 7 to 10 on here that I'm like, wow, I really want to play that. Like, that looks cool. So it'll be interesting to see what the developer direct is next year, because like that has potential to be just like, geez, like if they have Fable will obviously be in there because it was supposed to be this year. Gears E-Day will probably be in there. And then Forza supposedly might be in there. So it's just next year, again, like this is what we say next year. Every year is a big year. Like there's still a big year this year.
Yeah.
But in terms of like Microsoft core franchises, they're kind of setting it up for the 25th anniversary to just be kind of like, hey, this is what sold you a 360. Now, whether those games will be good or not is a different story. You know, so Fable is looking good from what we've seen. Gears E-Day, we haven't seen anything of it. But the fact that they went back to E-Day is a very interesting move. And Horizon has never really missed. So the remake of Halo is going to be an interesting one too. So, but yeah, so let's move on. Go ahead.
Before I move on to the actual games, I just want to say, I think I may be overall a little less optimistic than you are. I didn't find 7 to 10 games that I really wanted to play, but I did find 3 to 4 that I'm like, I either definitely want to play or kind of, since it's on Game Pass, I give it a shot.
For sure. I think that's fair. Yeah, like when I say there's stuff I want to play, I'm specifically talking about Game Pass. Like, on Game Pass, if it wasn't on Game Pass, there's still some stuff that I would be looking at. But in terms of, because I'm a Game Pass subscriber, you know, this is kind of what I'm looking forward to. So let's start. So what's one of the first games that stood out to you?
I'm looking forward to High on Life 2, actually. I was a fan of that last one. If I remember right, that game didn't overstay its welcome. It came, it went, and it was Rick and Morty good funness. So give me more of that with even crazier weapons, even stupider jokes. And I think I should enjoy that. You know, like, I'll be honest, though, looking at it, like, halfway kind of thought, well, this could have been DLC. But I mean, sure, like, because I really didn't see anything that made the two worthy of it. So, I mean, that was the first one. I'm just like, oh, didn't expect that. And I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, that first one was, I enjoyed it for what it was. It was a little one note in the gameplay department, but it's not really what it was going for. It was going for humor kind of thing. So, which is fine. It was a great 7.5 to 8 out of 10 kind of thing. And they did have an expansion for it, but from what I understand, people thought it was pretty meh. So like High on Life 2 is probably the next best bet, you know, to like really build upon that whole, what they set up. For me,
I feel like if you're adding a 2, you should do something. You should really add something that makes it worthy of the 2. Like this game should either be co-op or some kind of multiplayer experience, some sort of online kind of feature thing, but it may have that later down the line. I don't know, but from what they showed, it was just kind of like more of the same.
Yeah, I guess for me, like the biggest surprise of that whole thing was that it's this year. It's like, oh, you're right. Like, and you didn't have there really wasn't any gameplay in that trailer, at least that I could tell. You know, it might have been in engine or something like that. But I mean, it was way too scripted to be, you know, in engine or whatever. But it seems like the big thing that they're going for is traversal of some kind of there's the hoverboards and stuff like that. So that might be the thing. It might be this new sense of sort of movement through the world. So we'll see. But no, yeah, that's definitely one. I liked that first game a lot. It was a nice little romp, and it just doesn't, like you said, didn't overstay its welcome. So I'll definitely check out the second one. So I'm going to cheat a little bit, and I am just going to say Outer Worlds 2. So that was a game that I liked that first game. I am a big fan of, I shouldn't say a big fan, I'm a bigger fan of Fallout New Vegas than I am any of the other Fallout games, and that's because I do like Obsidian's sort of style and their take on things. The Outer Worlds 1 was very much, it felt like the first game in a franchise, but there was a lot of things there that I really enjoyed. Love the perk system. I love the size of the game. I like that it didn't overstay its welcome. I liked the perk trees. Like, I liked all that stuff. Where it was missing for me was just, it was, second half of the game felt like it felt a little rushed. Like, some of the locations weren't as good as the others. Like, I liked it, didn't love it kind of thing. But it seems like them having sort of laid the groundwork of the original Outer Worlds and kind of being able to dive into this, you know, saying, okay, like, we know what we did with the first one. This is what we want to do with the second one. This, in a lot of ways, looks like the spiritual successor to New Vegas. Like, truly does. So, and that's, as somebody who doesn't really like post-apocalyptic things, this has potential to be like the Obsidian RPG for me. So that's, it's looking real good.
Gameplay wise, I might agree with you. I didn't see too much gameplay. And by gameplay, I don't mean just the shooting. I mean, like, it's Obsidian. So, like, gameplay is the dialogue options and the story branches and stuff like that. And the and just the overall atmosphere. So I didn't see a whole lot of that on presented. However, I still, like, I remember liking the first one more than you do. But
yeah,
I still am not going to, for me, like, I don't think it's going to reach that New Vegas level until it drops some of that kind of millennial humor. They really kind of overshot that, I think. I didn't love it in the first one. And seeing it now, it reminded me kind of like almost like a Borderlands preview. It's like, we're fighting big corporations with this game made by big corporations. Get it? Ha ha. And it's like, I'm not saying you guys aren't funny, but at the same time, I don't know if I want that from Obsidian, you know? So, like, that's definitely one that's on my radar. I will play. I will probably enjoy it, but I'm definitely looking for more of a kind of a more, not even mature, but I guess more serious take on some of the story beats.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's, I don't know if you watched, they did a deep dive after the showcase. So there was a lot of gameplay and stuff in that, but it's,
oh, nice. I didn't watch that one yet.
So, but everything you're saying is still not wrong. Like, even like the tone of that whole thing, they had him, I'm blanking on his name. Who's the dude that voices Sonic the Hedgehog's name? Why can I not remember his name right now? Ben Schwartz? No. Ben
in the movie?
It is Ben Schwartz. Yeah. So they hired him to sort of do that thing, and it's got a very millennial humor. Like he's like the lead of sequels or something like that. And it was very dumb. It was very stupid in terms of like the theme that it was going for. Not, I want to say over the top, but it was very much sort of like slapstick a little bit. And so like it's a tough one. It's really tough to be funny in video games, and you're never going to hit all the way. As long as you don't go Borderlands 3 with it, I think you'll be okay.
I'm not mad that it's humorous, you know, like, and that's the thing. It is actually humorous, unlike a Borderlands 3. It's actually right. Humorous. My thing is, I know Obsidian can tell like a really good story. That's not Borderlands kind of humor. So I just, that's just, it's a nitpick on my end. It's a personal preference from that team, but overall, look, it does look really good though. And I expect it to be really good.
I don't know if it's a nitpick. It's the Western RPG is also sort of becoming a bit the same, if that makes sense. We'll talk about that game when it comes out. So, what's another game for you?
I'm going to say Ninja Gaiden 4.
Good pick.
Yeah, Ninja Gaiden. I mean, after playing through the re-release on Game Pass, I just remember just how good those games are, and when they're done well, you know. I will say though, that is a poor representation of what should be a good game. I don't like that. I don't like the weapon that they showed or featured. Yeah. Like don't do that. Like that's gonna be the weapon people unlock. And then go, oh, that's cool. All right, back to my sword, you know, or whatever else they have in the game. Because I know that game is going to be really good. I'm very hyped for it. But at the same time, that presentation could have been a whole lot better. I mean, honestly, a game like that should have been majorly gameplay. Like, you don't need story beats for Ninja Gaiden. No one goes to Ninja Gaiden for the story. The story is actually quite terrible. Just show me ninja action.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. So because they did that deep dive earlier this year, so it's almost like they couldn't, I don't say like they couldn't do more gameplay, but they showed a lot during that. So they wanted to show new things, which I totally get. For me, I think like the biggest sort of story about this game still is that you've got the dual developers and Platinum is handling kind of one aspect of the combat, the sort of the one-on-one stuff. And then Team Ninja's doing the rest. And like, to me, that's still sort of the big story of how they're going to sort of merge two systems together is a big question mark. Like, it looks good, but for me, and I'll say this, and we've said this 1,000 times, like, it's, we just don't get games like this anymore. Like, we really don't. So not only do I want to play it for that reason, but it's just like I want to support it for that reason. And it's, I don't know what we're going to get next in this, because God of War doesn't really do it anymore, you know. Maybe Onimusha, but Onimusha looks a little bit more souls like so I mean, Devil May Cry is the only thing that I can really think about. And I think they're going to do another Devil May Cry, but the question is are they going to do a 6? Are they going to do something else? Because DMC5 really sort of wrapped that game, that franchise up in a nice little way. But as always, there's always new things to do. But yeah, no, I'm with you in that it was a surprise that it's coming this year at the start of this year when they announced it, but it still looks good, which is nice. And it's, I really hope it's good. I hope it doesn't end up being like a complete, just like, oh no, like, like something's wrong here kind of thing. Cause we need more games like this. So, look at the list here that I have. Where did it go? I lost my list. Here it is. Super Meat Boy 3D. That is a game that
note it down.
Yeah. I didn't even know I wanted that. I had no idea this was a thing. And apparently it was rumored for a little while, but if you would have told me Super Meat Boy 3D, I would have been like, eh. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, like, okay. Like, you guys know, like, this is Super Meat Boy 3D. Like, you guys are truly going for it here. And that's, I don't know if there's much more I can say to it than that, other than It looks like a 3D Super Meat Boy, which if you get that right, I'm good.
It looks
I'm
done. Right.
That's all I need.
It looks like, very right, actually. I mean, my note for that game is I wish I liked Super Meat Boy because it looks really good. I just don't like. I just never got into Super Meat Boy personally, but that looked like, if you're into Super Meat Boy 2D, that 3D looks like a Mario 3D level, like jumping quality. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, that I think to me, it wasn't even, I want to say the quality, but like just the look of it. It doesn't look cheap. You know, like Super Meat Boy is it's a pixel game. It has a very distinct style of looking like one of those games. And I don't say it looks cheap, but it just doesn't look impressive in many ways. This actually looked impressive. I was actually surprised. So big fan of that game. So I will definitely be checking out the 3D version, but not much you can say because it's just going to be probably Super Meat Boy in 3D. So,
yeah, I mean, and for fans of the series, I mean, that's really kind of great. I mean, because again, it looks like they nailed it.
Yeah, well, it's fingers crossed again. Because I think they said this year, right? Let me look at it. I don't remember what they said now. Can't find it. How about you talk while I look for it?
I'm going to talk about I'm saving one for last here.
Early 2026.
I'm going to talk about one that I think is going to be garbage, but I'm hyped for. Solo Leveling. The weeb in fell into that anime. I watched the entire anime on a plane and I fell in love with it. I mean, after a year of hype, I watched both seasons on a plane. It was phenomenal. And by that, I mean, like, it was a bad anime. the story sucks. The characters are ridiculous. It's very one note, but it bangs that one note hard. Like, that's it does what it does. It doesn't try to do anything else. I looked at the game. I watched that gameplay. I'm just kind of like, I'm in because it's Solo Leveling, and I'm hyped for it just because of that. But then it's like 4-player co-op. I'm like, wait, what? But then I saw 4 of the same character models. I'm like, wait, so like, how budget is this? Because there are other characters in that anime. So why did they show 4-player co-op and they're all the same main character? I was very confused by that. But I will be checking that out day one just because it's Solo Leveling.
Didn't even know it was an anime. So you've told me more about it than I already knew. And that actually makes a little bit more sense. To me, when I saw that, I was like, okay, like, this is a Japanese game. They're trying to, you know, expand on that market a little bit. They've always been trying to. There's actually quite a bit of, you know, there was, I think it was like Mudang, Two Hearts. I don't remember the developer, but that was definitely a Japanese.
Didn't have to look at that at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And then Solo Leveling, and my biggest thing was, I was just like, why is this here? Because I thought it was just like some random Japanese game. And I was like, it makes a little bit more sense that it's a IP. I didn't know that. So
yeah, that's Crunchyroll Anime of the Year. So I mean, like, yeah, that's the biggest anime of the year.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense then. So see, learning something new. And then on the Japanese side, they also finally announced FF7 Remake Intergrade and Final Fantasy 16 with 16 hitting today. So it seems like they're finally closing that loop. So maybe by the time the third one comes out, it'll be on all platforms. But I don't. Is anybody really going to get Final Fantasy 16 on Xbox? Like,
I mean, like, that's my thing. I was like, I thought the same thing about Persona 4 Revival. I'm just like, I'm glad this game is being made. I'm glad it's coming out. Like, I'm glad Xbox fans are getting a chance to play it. But at the same time, I just don't think these games are Xbox people games. They never really have been. And I don't think they're going to catch on that way.
At least with Persona 4, though, it's a Game Pass game. So, like, absolutely, that makes a little bit more sense to me. And I think I don't think 5 has been. Maybe it has. I don't remember. But obviously, like, Microsoft has given them a bag for a lot of those Persona games, as well as Metaphor is currently on Game Pass. So it's. I'm with you in that. I just don't know if. Are you going to get people to pay for Persona on Xbox ever? Maybe. Like, the chances of that person not having a PlayStation or PC and that being that, where they want to play,
that's what I
it
mean.
Is,
yeah. That's what I mean.
It's like, tough.
If you want to play Final Fantasy or Persona, you already purchased your PlayStation like a long time ago.
Right. And what's funny is I do have, like, Chris, friend of the show, he's like the one person who really likes Final Fantasy, but just hasn't gotten a PS5. And it's not because he doesn't want one. It's just, he just hasn't. Like, he's just been playing Switch mostly kind of things. And he's just like, I'll get to it when I get to it kind of thing. But he does have a Series X for Game Pass. So, like, that customer does exist, but they're going to be rare.
Exactly. So it'll be right.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if, how that game moves. So.
I think it's your turn.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, this is like my game of the show or whatever, but this is definitely the one that, like, coming out of this, I was looking forward to the most, and that is Clockwork Revolution. And
I didn't like that one at all. Like, what am I missing?
That's super interesting. I have many thoughts about this. Why don't we, since this actually ties into the show in general, let's go with your game next, and then we'll close on Clockwork, because I have a lot to say, so.
Well, in that case, I'm just going to quickly mention one and then close with the last one. I want to quickly mention, I think it's called Beasts of Reincarnations or something. And it just looks like...
Beasts of Reincarnation, yeah.
There you go. It looks like someone's answer to Black Myth Wukong. And right. And that's just me wanting more Black Myth Wukong. I'm not going to lie to you. So, like, if it's on par, I will be happy. So I'm hoping that game turns out pretty good.
That's a day one Game Pass, and from Game Freak of all people. So good luck, I guess, Game Freak.
So I do want to end on what I think is honestly my game of the show. And I'm mad about it. It truly upsets me. Is Black Ops 7.
Interesting. I don't play Call of Duty games.
I don't enjoy them. It's not that I don't enjoy them. I'm just over it. I'm done. But that said, that trailer looks... Here's why this game obsessed me already too much. that trailer, those cinematic, those story beats... In any other world, if you give me those visuals, that story, those story beats, and you tell me, oh, by the way, it plays like a really good Call of Duty, I would say that's a 10 out of 10 game. That's game of the year. There's no way it's not. Like, what are you talking about? Like, the only thing I like about Call of Duty is the gameplay. Like, the campaigns are terrible. Well, they have been recently. So, like, if you tell me that's the game I'm going to get, with Call of Duty like gameplay, the good kind, 10 out of 10, easy. But I know it's not going. I'm not going to get that great single player campaign experience that they're showcasing right now. Or maybe I will, but my hopes are low.
Yeah. So what I'll start by saying, Clockwork Revolution and Black Ops position in the show should have been switched. And I understand that while Call of Duty is still the biggest game in the world and they have to show it off, it was a very interesting choice to close your show with it. And I will fully admit, like, I got God or whatever. It's like, I kind of forgot that they hadn't shown off Call of Duty yet. So myself, like many others, were watching that final trailer. I was like, oh, I was like, this, is this a new IP or something, you know, kind of thing. And then when they started talking about drones and stuff, I was just like, okay, like, this isn't a new IP. Like, this is going to be like something dumb, like Watch Dog, you know, or like something like that. And then when it said Black Ops 7, I was just like, oh, okay then. Like, that was a choice, you know, like to sort of do that, like, one more thing, wink, wink, you know, sort of game being the yearly franchise was a little bit strange. It was a very intriguing trailer, and I still play Call of Duty, but mainly it's just because I've got one of my closest friends. That's the game that we play. That's what it is for a lot of people. I'm a big fan of that actor that I'm Milo. I can never pronounce his last name. You know, like, he's great. But when Call of Duty gets weird with, like, actors and, like, stories and stuff, it tends to be really strange. Like, I remember, like, Black Ops 3, that story was, like, really strange. like very strange. And they had celebrity actors in that one. I did love Advanced Warfare, but a lot of people didn't like Advanced Warfare.
I did like that one, actually.
Yeah, I'm that weird person that I like the faster Call of Duties, whereas yeah. other people are like, no, I want my boots to the ground. I'm like, okay, I guess that's fair. But
I mean,
but yeah.
Yeah, I'm to say, as it's my game of the show, because in theory, if I knew nothing about Call of Duty, that cinematic alone looks very interesting. And then if you're telling me it's with Call of Duty good gameplay, I'm like, yeah, that must play.
Yeah, and I guess that's a good point of just like, it very rarely does Call of Duty miss in the gameplay, you know, part of it. It's always like the mechanics around that gameplay, but the engine, like they've made them for what, 25 years now? Like,
right.
Like, so it's like you're going to get a level of quality of some capacity. So this is either going to be an amazing game or it's going to be extremely mediocre, because they've also said like, hey, we're not really going to talk about this game until like before it comes out. And it's like, that's a very interesting thing to say. Like, that's a very, so like, does that mean like, is this like a Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 situation where this wasn't really supposed to be its own game, but now it is? Like, there's, you just don't know anymore. But also with them putting it on Game Pass, does it really matter? So we'll see. But it doesn't sound like we're going to get a lot of information about that game. It'll probably be the number one selling game of the year, as it usually is. So, but yeah, the reason I went, and that's the only reason I wanted to do Clockwork last, because like, I really felt like that being a what's the word? A Microsoft, like, you know, that was one of those purchases that they made that we've been sort of waiting for with In Exile. And you and I have talked a lot about Wasteland 3 and how, you know, there's parts of that game that
are Wasteland 3.
Yeah, like there's that style of game is not for me. The everything wrapped around it, the story, the characters, the world, enjoy it. But I just didn't love playing it. Whereas I look at Clockwork Revolution and it's like, this is kind of the perfect, like, this is what I want from an RPG. Like this speaks to me. It's got sort of a little bit of Bethesda, sort of a little bit of Obsidian, but then this, it's got the time RPG? Travel. Yes.
I did not get that from the trailer, so you know more than I do.
It's a Western RPG. Like it's not going to be, you know, like Final Fantasy like, but it's definitely an RPG with your choices, quote, mattering. And what I will say is, like, as I didn't get through Wasteland 3, a lot of people said like, no, like that game's, the narrative of that game truly does change as you go through it. Yeah. So like, it's not Mass Effect, you know, it doesn't make good. And like your choices really matter. We've had that discussion many times, but it just sounds like it's that team building a first person shooter. That's an RPG. Like it has all of the options for me that I will like. Very long trailer. I don't know that it needed to be that.
Because I didn't know it was an RPG. Like they show nothing about any of that. If I remember right,
they did, but it's all kind of tucked in there. And again, like RPG, it's Western RPG. So like to say it's maybe RPG light is what I really should say. There are RPG mechanics, but at the same time, it's also not probably coming out next year, so they might still be sort of.
They should show more of that, because when I watched it, I really got like Bioshock Infinite vibes.
Yeah, I mean, but it's labeled as a steampunk first person RPG, so
okay,
I would I would label that as more of like a, you know, Outer Worlds 2 or something like that. Yeah, so yeah, but no, like, and just in general for it being like one of those games that coming from the class that, you know, we've been sort of waiting on. Looks truly unique, you know, and the time mechanic, and I will say the humor for me didn't exactly land, like the little like psycho bear or whatever it was, like not for me, but like whenever, or not bear, like doll thing that they had that was looked like a founding father for whatever reason. But then when they did like the zoom outs of like all the weapons, and it's just like, this looks cool. So don't have a release date on it. But again, for me, it was just like, this wasn't a new game, so I guess you could argue maybe it shouldn't have went last anyway. It's like, this should have had a bigger spotlight to me, and I just think it looks really good. So we'll see. But that was sort of my best pick. So to do a quick rundown, here's everything that was shown: Outer Worlds 2, Ninja Gaiden 4, Tony Hawk 3 and 4, Grounded 2, Gears of War Reloaded, Keeper from Double Fine, that's another Microsoft studio, Persona 4 Revival, High on Life 2, Clockwork Revolution, Final Fantasy 7, Final Fantasy 15, Sea of Thieves, Beast of Reincarnation, Aphelion, Kronos, The New Dawn, Animo, There Are No Ghosts at the Grand, Super Meat Boy 3D, Planet of Lana 2, Invincible Versus, Mundang, Age of Mythology Untold, and Resonance, A Plague Tale Legacy. And then At Fate's End. I don't remember what At Fate's End is.
Actually, I am keeping my eye out on that Plague Tale game.
Very interesting. Like, it doesn't look like a Plague Tale game, which is interesting. And not they said at that all. they said they're gonna be doing more action based, which is my biggest problem with those games. So that might be the one for me, kind of thing. So, however, tucked in that whole thing, and this is where we'll kind of end the show and give our final thoughts are, but I think like third or fourth, they showed off the ROG Xbox Ally and the ROG Xbox Ally X. So this is the rumored portable that was, I think, called Project Kenan, that they were building with Asus, and it is real. They showed it off. They said it'll be available this holiday season. You have the Ally and the Ally X, the Ally X being sort of the more beefy version, and the just regular Ally being sort of your more entry-level position. So no pricing, no pre-orders, et cetera, but they did have the specs on it, and they are not they are not low, is what I'll say. So I expect this device to be very expensive. Just for a quick rundown, the Ally X has the AI Z2 Extreme, and then the Ally has the Z2A, which is sort of a, I think that's like a Z1 Extreme, but just like smaller. 24 gigs of RAM on the Ally X, 16 gigs of RAM on the Ally, terabyte on the X, 512 on the regular Ally. Both are a 1080p IPS screen with the 500 nits as well as, so it's got HDR capabilities. IO is pretty much the same except that they're a little bit faster on the Ally X, so you could technically use a external GPU with it if they ever set that up. I don't know that they will. Battery on the Ally is 60 watt hours, Ally X is 80 watt hours. And like I said, yeah, I can't think of the word, no pricing or details, anything like that. So the main things of this device are the following. It is an Ally, but they literally took the design of the Xbox controller and redid sort of the handles of it. So if you've ever held an Ally, it's not the most comfortable thing, which I'm a huge fan of. And this does have the rumored sort of unified Xbox store or Windows experience, to where they've stripped away everything of Windows in terms of the stuff that you won't pretty much need. The stuff that's in the background that sort of takes up resources that you don't want. So the most basic sort of example that they gave is that by not doing all of the Windows things, they're able to free up 2 gigs of RAM that every PC basically has in the background for tasks that Windows does it. So by removing that, there's 2 gigs of RAM. So you can kind of extrapolate that and just say like, hey, so it's going to have more CPU cycles, more GPU power, et cetera, that's going to go straight to the game. But it also is running a layer that you can log into Steam, you can log into Epic Games, you can log into GOG, like, and it's going to sort of bring all your games together in this one Xbox UI, and it doesn't even boot into Windows, it boots straight into this UI. So, and this is sort of exclusive to this device right now. They haven't said that they're doing anything else to it, but this is going to be the first device that's, quote, an Xbox for this sort of unified, whatever you want to call it, market that they've been talking about forever. So, how are you feeling about the worst name of the word, ROG Xbox Ally and ROG Xbox Ally X? Rolls right off the tongue.
Oh, man. I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe it's doing so much that I can't see the forest for the trees type of thing, because I'm not digging. It's not that I'm not digging it. It's just I need someone to tell me, like, break it down piece by piece why I need to get this over a Steam Deck.
I don't know if there's a why. For me, it's
because I can already play my Xbox games on my Steam Deck and my GOG games.
Not easily, though. And that's the biggest thing, is that can load up
organization. Okay.
Yeah. So, like, as I've always said for the longest time, that's not true. I've said since like the Steam Deck came out, I was like, I really want a Steam Deck, A, but the LCD was crap. B, the price was too high. And then when they did the Steam Deck OLED, I was like, great. But then it was just like, okay, we're too close to the Z2 Extreme. Like, there's a lot of things that I think are going to make these better. But the biggest thing is like, yes, you can install Windows on your Steam Deck, but it's not exactly what you want to do, kind of thing. And it's, I'm in that weird situation where it's like, I mean, it's a situation. I think a lot of people are this way, but also the Steam Deck is also not this like home run device. Like it's sold millions of units, but hasn't sold over 10 million. So there's not like a billion of them out there. But for me, it's just like, I want a device where I can just go to anything on my PC and I don't have to try to like finagle Windows to do it. And that's pretty much why I haven't got one of these. Like the ROG Ally, the regular one, does run Windows on it. So yeah, you can load up Game Pass, etc. But similar to even Steam Big Picture Mode, and I haven't used it in a while, but every once in a while, like Windows or Steam would throw something up on the screen where I need a mouse and keyboard for. Or I need a, you know, like it just, there's enough non-turnkey right. things in there to annoy you just enough. And while while the Ally tried to sort of make it better, because like you can actually control the cursor with the joysticks, like, and there's the ROG armory crate that runs over it. So like they tried to do it, but it's not turnkey. It still has that Windows funk to it. Steam Deck is better, I think, in that realm, but then Steam Deck, you lose Epic Store, you lose Game Pass, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So that's its play, is really the software as well as the ergonomics of it, because I will say the ergonomics of the Steam Deck are the best in my opinion, of what's out there right now. But like, I don't really like the Ally. I don't really like the way it feels, the regular Ally. I have messed with the Legion Go, not a huge fan of it kind of thing. So it's like the perfect device for me would be a Steam Deck OLED with the guts of this guy, of the ROG Ally X, that ran this version of Windows that I can just play anything. And the reason that's important to me is because I am not like, I'm one of the weird people that is not married to Steam. I don't really care about Steam. Like, I don't really care where I get my game. My thing is that I like to play on PC and I like achievements. That's about it. So like, if I can get it on the Xbox store, I will, because I want the achievements for it, but that's it. So even as somebody who, like, that's the thing, right? Is like, you buy one device, I can get everything. Even with all that, I'm looking at this device and I'm just like, we'll see. Like, I need to see it in action.
But. Yeah, you just broke all that down to me, and I'm still kind of like, no, not kind of. I'm still very much like, and this reason I haven't got a Steam Deck yet. I'm just waiting for the next thing to come out. I'm waiting for all the things to come out so I can compare and see which ones actually work as advertised and which one works best for me. I didn't see anything. I saw advancements in the technology in the realm of these systems. However, I still didn't see the thing that made me go, okay, that's what I'm getting. Like, I'm still just kind of waiting another year or two just to see what comes out and to compare and see which one works best for me.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this OS ends up going to other devices kind of thing. I will say this is the closest one that I've seen that I'm like, okay, that's the one that I want. It's still not. And what I will say, the biggest thing for me is going to be, and this is not most people, but like for me, this is going to be an expensive device. I'm going to guess 600 and 800. That's my gut feeling. For the Ally being 600, X being 800. If I'm spending that much money on a device, I want an OLED screen. Just that simple. So this being a IPS display, it works, but this is supposed to be a premium device. OLED is sort of the premium technology, especially when it comes to HDR and a small screen, et cetera. Like I said, if I could get the power of this in a Steam Deck OLED, like that would be sort of the perfect device for me. The other thing is that, and this is going to be more just me being stubborn in some ways, is that I don't think the Z2 Extreme processor is really going to make a night and day difference over the Z1. It's going to be better, but I think whatever is next, the Z3 Extreme, or whatever, FSR4 is getting really good, and FSR4 uses AI cores similar to DLSS. And on a smaller device, that could be a godsend, because you just don't have as many resources. But if you can render in 720p up to 1080p and it actually looks good, whereas FSR3 and before can be really touchy at times. It can be pretty ugly. It just doesn't stand up to DLSS. FSR4 does. So if they can get a chip in there that's got the AI cores for upscaling, pretty much the Switch 2, but AMD, because the Switch 2 is using DLSS and et cetera. So But then you can always play that game of just like, okay, well, I'll just get the next one because the next one's going to be better. But I think whatever the first one that comes out that really has some power behind it, to where it's like, almost any game I throw at this, I can play. Maybe I won't be playing whatever Doom 4 is, you know, in 5 years from now. But as long as I can play everything in my Steam Deck library as well as Game Pass and it look moderately good, if I have to use upscaling, that's fine. But I want to use FSR 4 versus FSR 3 because it really is just a night and day difference. So it's close. It's almost there. But like you said, it's like there's nothing really about it jumping out that's like, oh, hey, like you can like. I don't know how they're going to market this to somebody who, like, what's going to be the thing for them that gets somebody to jump on this? And I don't know if there is anything other than.
I mean, that's the thing, too. Just they're terrible at marketing. And I really compare it to the Steam Deck specifically because Steam is such a. Not that Microsoft and Xbox is not a household name, but Steam is king of PC. So when you say Steam Deck, it just registers to people a lot easier. Like, oh, I play my games on Steam and I have a Steam Deck, done. You know, it's just click, it's easy one-to-one. It feels like an arms race, and I'm in no hurry to see so far to see to pull trigger on any one of these. I know I want one of them. I don't know which one yet. This one is not the one that screamed at me. This is the one yet.
Yes, I'm with you there. And it's the only way I can see this being a success for, like, I don't say a success because who knows what their numbers are, but like being a runaway success is price. Like if they subsidize this thing because they, you know, they're trying to get them out there and get people using this new version of the OS, maybe you'll get somebody. However, I don't think they're going to do that.
Undercut it. Make it $4.99. I'll get one.
Right, and that I just don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
I think the day is of subsidizing hardware just isn't going to happen. So, I expect this thing to be expensive. So.
Yeah, like sad to say, because like I did want to be hyped for this. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm just not. It looks like if it does what it claims it's going to do, like. Have at it, help everyone who gets one and enjoys it, but this is not the one for me yet.
Yeah, and I'll be very curious on how it does. And like you said, my biggest thing is that, and I'm not on the train that of some people that are like, Xbox is a trash brand, and it's just like, no, Xbox has some resonance. Is it as big as PlayStation, Nintendo? Absolutely not. But is it going to be far more successful than Google Stadia was? For sure. You know, like there's the Xbox name is not synonymous with just like end all be all the way like a PlayStation, Nintendo is. So I don't know that anybody that's like, oh dang, like Xbox has a handheld, hot dang, I got to go get that. And it's also part of it too where I'm confused and I'm hoping that they're going to do this, but like if I can't. It says Xbox on it, but a lot of my purchases on my Xbox account will not transfer because this isn't an Xbox. This is a PC. Like this is x86 under the hood. So like I can't buy it and load up, you know, my 360 purchases on it, or even some of my Xbox One purchases or my Series X purchases. Like the only way that can happen is if it's Play Anywhere, which is their other big initiative, and if it's available on the Microsoft Store. That's the only way that I can play that. So if they would have announced this and been like, hey, it's also got an emulator for Xbox, Xbox 360 and Xbox One, like you can play all those games. Like if they would announce that, I probably would be like, OK, you know what? I'm going to hop on board just to be I want to support the idea, but also I want to check it out kind of thing. But if it's literally just a PC, it's like, well, I've already got that. So it's. There are things that they could do to it that I think would make it far more quote Xbox, but this is just a handheld PC. I'm not taking anything away from it, but it's just not, even as an Xbox customer, where that's still where I do a majority of my gaming, whether it's on PC or console, because I am an achievement person. Like that's where a lot of my purchases are. Like I can't even access all of them on this device. So it's like, you guys got to figure that part out first. And if you stripping away Windows so that way you can build some type of emulator on top of it is the solution, go for it. But until you do that, like.
That was just overall weird to me that it's not an Xbox machine. Like, it really should be. That's just, again, like it just goes with the that branding thing I'm talking about. It's kind of like, I feel like if this was a PlayStation thing or deal, they almost would have to say, yes, it can play PlayStation 3 games up to PS3. You know, like, just because, like, their audience is, like, was so, went so to bat for backwards compatibility. Like, they're, like, so I feel like it almost goes one-on-one with them, whereas, like, Xbox, I'm just like, gosh, this has to be an Xbox machine almost first. But, that, I mean, it looks good. Make it $500 and I'm in. Anything over that, I'm wait and see mode.
Yeah, we'll see. And it's, I don't know if there's anything more for me to add. It's just, some people are pretty hyped about this and I want to be, but at the same time, it's also, it's like, guys, like, this is Microsoft. And as, again, as somebody who lives in that right, world,
yeah,
like, it takes them, when Microsoft gets it right, like, it's a home run, but they have very few of those, just like, they got it right from start to finish kind of thing.
Look, I just want to ask you, as someone knee deep in all of this, as am I, what would be your main style of play when it comes to one of these handheld PC consoles? Because that's the other thing for me is I have a perfectly fine PC here. It runs everything I need it to run perfectly fine. I have almost no issues. If I want to play something, I just jump on my PC and play it. Sure, there are some indie games, not some, a bunch of indie games I like to take on a go with me. Like taking Hades with me on a go sounds great. But at the same time, personally speaking, just a little intro to my life, whenever I go someplace, I don't take my games with me anyway. Like, I don't have time to. Like if I leave the house, I'm going to see someone, and I'm not playing my game while they're talking to me, you know? I'm going to a movie, I'm going to dinner, I'm doing an activity, something, even if I'm getting there, I'm driving there, you know? So I can't play while I'm on the road. So, like, and also, I travel a lot. You think that'd be a good time to do it? I'm not taking my $1,000 console on a plane, like, to another country. For that matter. So, like, I guess my question to you is, what would be, like, what's the dream scenario when you're using this the most?
So I would probably treat it pretty similar to, like, a Switch, to where, like, I very rarely took my Switch anywhere. It was nice when I could, but same. No, like this is mainly for, like, you know what, like, I kind of just want to throw something on the TV and chill out in my big oversized chair. And kind of thing. And it's mainly to play around my home, you know, kind of thing. There's some games that I just like in portable and some games I don't. I like to play a lot of the, I have a Series S in my room. I have a Series X in the living room as well as a PC in the living room. So, like, I'll play my, you know, my runners, my roguelites, my 2D games a lot of times in bed, whereas 3D, it's the, you know, the more cinematic right. games I play in the living room, you know, it's just because I got surround sound and stuff out there. So for, like, games that I just, maybe I'm poking through, or maybe games I've played before, or maybe I'm achievement hunting or stuff like that. Like, there are times where I'll definitely throw on a podcast and then play on my TV in my bedroom. But it's like, that would be kind of nice if I didn't have to do that, you know, like, just having something maybe a little closer, I don't say more intimate, but it's just like, there is something cool about a handheld version of games sometimes. And it really just does depend on the game for me. Yeah, I'm not the person that's going to take it with me anywhere, especially considering that thing looks heavy and et cetera. Like, would it be nice if I could do that? Yeah, but I'm like you, and it's like where it's, I learned a long time ago that that's a nice idea. You know, of like, oh, like, I'm going to take this with me. I'm going to take this with me because, like, we're going to do this. And then I get wherever I'm going, and it's like, I never even open up my bag, you know, kind of thing. Like, I never, if I was traveling for work, it'd be one thing. But if I'm going to see somebody, it's like, no, I don't want to, like, hang out on my Ally, you know, like.
Yeah, I took my, because when I travel, I'm mostly a solo traveler. So I remember taking my Switch with me one time, actually, to Egypt. And I'm thinking, like, I'm going to play this a lot in the hotel, at the very least. And this is where I will play my Switch a lot. Pulled it out maybe one time. Like, I just, like I spent most of my time trying to make the most of my time on my vacation outside the hotel, away from TV, internet, and stuff like that. So right. That's the other thing too. So like, that's why like, as a customer, I'm definitely not their target audience. Well, in a way, I am, but realistically, I'm not, because if I'm paying upwards of $1,000 for a machine, I'm going to get the most out of that machine. I don't think that's going to come in the form of a handheld. So at least not this kind of handheld, at least not yet.
Yeah, I think we're getting, we are definitely getting to the point, and there's rumors that the PS6 is basically going to be a handheld and a console, to where basically they're going to Series X and S this, to where the handheld's going to be able to run a much lower version resolution, stuff like that of whatever the PS6 is. It's going to run PS5, 4, 3, you know, et cetera. We're getting to that point to where, you know, Moore's Law's dead, et cetera. So like the major jumps in graphics tech are not going to happen within probably the next 5 to 10 years. It's going to get incrementally better until some major new whatever comes along, because it's not going to be chip density. So we're in the sweet spot of like, hey, we can do this. Like, how can we, you know, whatever, how can we get this power to where it works? And it's, the thing is, like you said, is that I just don't know if that customer, are there 50 million of those? Are there 50 million people out there that are like, yo, I want to play portably? I just don't think there are. And I think a lot of people that have a Switch, if they're playing it portable, that's great. But also there's a lot of people like myself that it lives in the dock. So you're either going to pick and choose. And I just don't know that there's going to be a lot of it. Same thing with like the Game Boy and the DS. Like, yes, those are portable machines, but like the DS, you saw quite a few in the wild, but even still, there were, you know, there's not millions of people out there with, like, you don't just see, like, it's not Pokemon Go level where everybody was playing that, you know, like it just wasn't. So I don't know that there's a market quote for this, but if they start approaching this the way Nintendo is, and it's just like, look, we don't make a console and a handheld. We just make the PlayStation 6, and that PlayStation 6 is, if you want a portable or you want a console, we don't care. Like, just buy one of them. We're calling it the PlayStation 6. For us, it's all the same customer. It's all the same demographic. If that's their goal with it and they can pull that off, great. But if they're hoping that this is going to be like a new segment and all of a sudden they're going to pull in 100 million new people because it's portable, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So,
and I'll just finish off by saying, I think you touched on something that I think someone should figure out how to do, because as you mentioned, the Pokemon Go was a huge success and everyone was doing it. Even non-gamers were doing it. And the 90% of the reason is because it's on their phone, and everyone has a phone. Sony or Microsoft just needs to make team up with like T-Mobile or somebody, or Samsung, right, or somebody, just make a phone PS5, make a phone Xbox. Just that way, like, you, it's primarily a phone. It's a cell phone for sure, but it's also just a PS or Xbox device.
Yeah, we'll see. So I think it's fair to say both of us are just kind of like, we'll see what happens. But so overall, let's wrap up. Microsoft's Game Pass, no, it's not Game Pass show, Summer Showcase. I think it's fair to say we're kind of on the same page, other than Call of Duty, which is odd because typically I'm the one that's like, Call of Duty looks good this year. And this year I'm just like, we'll see. So it is a good show, though. Like I said, nothing blew me away. I don't know if the Ally X is going to be a great device. We'll have to kind of wait and see. In terms of like super exciting about a lot of stuff, I don't know that anything kind of came out of it. Even through the Summer Games Fest, you know, the Jeff Keighley show, it seems like we're in a rebuilding year, because we definitely have already, this year is like stacked, and we've already had a lot of great games and we've got more coming. It just seems like that the timing of everything is like, we're not ready to announce what's coming next holiday, A, because Grand Theft Auto got pushed, so we're all afraid of it. But B, it's also like, we're just not ready to show, you know, kind of thing. So even though we got a lot of stuff coming next year, we don't have time to show it right now. Resident Evil 9 is coming up next year, and that's great, and I'm excited for that. But that's about the only other thing from that entire sort of summer show that I'm like, So I'm not upset, though, because it's like, I already got plenty of stuff to play. So it was fine. I'm not blown away, but I'm definitely not disappointed either. So.
No, I agree. Yeah, it was absolutely fine to good.
Right. So, But all right, there you go. That is our recap of the Xbox Summer Showcase. We're going to be doing some games next. So to wrap this up, 574-651-9256. That is our phone number if you want to let us know what you thought about the Summer Showcase. We might have a lot of, if you're from YouTube, our numbers over there actually popped quite a bit more than I thought we would, being new to the platform.
As I said, they would.
So I don't think either one of us said that.
I did say just throw it on YouTube.
I didn't just throw it on YouTube. Anyways.
I'm sorry. You ate. I did. Whatever.
I paid. No. So if you're new to us from YouTube, welcome. 574-651-9256. gpopfans@gmail.com as well. gpopfans@gmail.com for the email address. Let us know what you thought. In terms of the future, we're going to be talking about Doom the Dark Ages, as well as we played some simulators we're going to be talking about. So anything else you want to say before we close this episode and get out of here?
No, I get out of here.
Well, all right then. That's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass. We'll see you next time with a game.
Good day, sirs.